This past Tuesday was the National Day of Transgender Visibility, a day of support and affirmation for one of the most marginalized and murdered minorities in our country and around the world. On Monday, as allies and admirers prepared their social media posts of support and solidarity, the governor of Idaho was doing something else. He was signing the most damaging and demeaning anti-trans legislation we've seen in this country. For a look at that legislation and what steps will be needed to counter it, I am grateful to connect with Harper Jean Tobin, an attorney and director of policy at the National Center for Transgender Equality in Washington, D.C. Harper Jean, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Hello, glad to be with you.
Would you start, please, by just summarizing these two outrageous pieces of legislation?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. First thing, I do think it's important to recognize how incredible it is that we're even talking about this right now at the moment that we're in, how irresponsible it is to pass and sign legislation focused on stigmatizing and excluding vulnerable youth when we're in the middle of a nearly unprecedented deadly pandemic. You know, how senseless is it to be banning young people from playing sports when schools are shut down, sports seasons are canceled, millions are unemployed, nearly 1,000 people a day are dying in our country, and our leaders should be focused on protecting everyone, not singling people out. So yet here we are, right? Governor Little in Idaho quite appropriately declared an extreme emergency and a statewide stay-at-home order on the 25th of March. And then 5 days later, he signed two new laws just to stigmatize trans youth. Why? So these two bills are HB 500 and HB 509. HB 500 is a completely unprecedented ban on transgender girls playing school sports in Idaho. They are banned in high school, in middle school, in fourth and fifth grade, in every sport. The NAACP has had a policy on trans student athletes playing for a decade. And Idaho colleges are now ordered to ignore the NCAA's policy and ban trans girls from playing every sport. If someone suspects a girl is transgender, schools can demand genital exams or blood testing or genetic testing. Schools are banned from considering any complaints from trans girls or their families about being kicked off teams or out of sports. But schools can be sued under this law if they let a trans girl play. So it's no wonder the NCAA says this law conflicts with their core values of fair treatment of all individuals. And it's no wonder the Women's Sports Foundation and other women's rights groups said in a letter that it would compromise access to sports for many vulnerable youth while doing nothing to support young athletes or address the real threats to girls' sports. At the same time, Governor Little signed HB 509, which bans trans people from correcting their birth certificates to reflect who they truly are. And I think the fact that these two bills were a package really reveals that this is not about anything specific to sports. It's about attacking trans people. You know, Idaho was one of only two or three states that didn't allow trans people to correct their birth certificates. And it was ordered to allow those corrections by a federal court 2 years ago. This bill, this new law, directly defies that court order. The only other state to pass a law similar to this one is Tennessee, which passed it over 40 years ago. Now, when trans people can't update their identification, it forces them to out themselves as transgender and risk discrimination anytime they have to show that document. It's confusing, it's humiliating, it's dangerous. Correcting the document does not change the confidential, historical, and statistical data about your birth. It just lets people live their daily lives in peace, which is why the court said 2 years ago, trans people have a right to these changes. There's no harm to anyone. There's no burden on the state. It's pure cruelty to ban it. And so looking at these two bills, the current and five previous Idaho attorneys general all raised the alarm that these laws are probably unconstitutional, but yet the governor in a moment of extreme emergency and lockdown nevertheless signed them.
Harper Jean, is Idaho uniquely vulnerable to this kind of institutionalized hate mongering, or did the state's transgender population just get incredibly unlucky on this occasion?
Well, this is not specific to Idaho, for sure. This is a coordinated effort led by large, well-funded groups like the Alliance Defending Freedom and other anti-transgender national groups. They are attacking transgender youth on every front. They are in the Supreme Court and in state houses, pushing to make it so you can legally fire or evict someone for being transgender, pushing to ban trans youth from bathrooms and sports clubs, pushing bills to literally lock up doctors for providing care to these youth. That's why we saw new and nearly identical bills all across the country at once this year. Now, the good news is most states have rejected them. Colorado, Florida, Iowa, Kentucky, South Dakota lawmakers said, no, this is too extreme, needless, cruel. There are other states that are considering bills like this, particularly sports bans and medical bans in Arizona, Alabama, Louisiana, Missouri, Tennessee. I think with the NCAA coming in against them, they should think twice. But right now, legislatures in most states have closed due to the pandemic, and it's not clear if or when they'll come back. And when they do, I hope they will be focused solely on saving lives from COVID-19 and helping those who are jobless. But the folks pushing these bills in Idaho, you know, they really pushed, even as the state was locking down, to save lives. To squeak these attacks on trans people through.
Do you see the hand of the political religious right in this process?
Well, I think it's important that we recognize there is an organized movement. There is an organized, you know, multi-million dollar anti-trans organization called ADF and many others working on this. And they sometimes say that the reason that they want to stop trans people from having rights and dignity and being part of public life has something to do with religious freedom. Now, all of us value religious freedom. It's in our Constitution for a reason. LGBTQ people, trans people are of all faiths and spiritualities. Most have a religious and spiritual identity. It's certainly a big part of my life. And most people of faith don't want to discriminate. We know that. But when you see ADF representing businesses saying that they have to practice their faith, be able to fire trans people, refuse to serve trans people, that's part of this overall effort to strip trans people's rights away. When they're talking about them trying to ban medical care, trying to ban people from sports teams, ban people from updating their birth certificates, these bills haven't been framed in religious terms. They have been framed with other kinds of fears, baseless fears about transgender people that are belied by the facts. But certainly the idea somehow that there's a war between religious freedom and the very existence of trans people in society is one of the tools, is one of the storylines that we see in this effort to strip trans people of civil rights.
You know, of all the features of Idaho's outrageous new anti-transgender laws, I think the assault on young people is particularly unforgivable. Would you talk about that, please?
Of course. It's really heartbreaking. You know, trans young people, like, you know, young people across the country, are scared right now, are confused. Their schools have been closed. They have to stay home. You know, they're worried about people in their families that might be getting sick. It's the world is scary right now for everyone, right? There's this pandemic. And here, you know, we have leaders also trying to sort of ban and exclude and stigmatize them because of who they are. And, you know, I'm so scared and hurting for trans young people right now who are sort of dealing with both of those things at once. And it's the idea that whenever they are able to go back to school, that they're going to be kicked off of the team, that they're not going to be able to play the sport that they love anymore, whether that's fencing or basketball or whatever it is. And you know, they're scared that they're not going to be able to see, if they're teenagers, a doctor anymore for medical treatment and the bills that some of these states have proposed. Fortunately, neither Idaho nor any other state has passed those bills to criminalize medical care yet, but it's part of the same effort. So I think that the folks pushing these bills, they're capitalizing on the instinct that we all have that we want to protect young people. But they say that banning trans people, that these other kids need to be protected from trans kids. And I think what we're hearing from athletes of all ages, from sports organizations, from women's rights groups, is that's nonsense. You know, the real threat to girls' sports, other than getting COVID-19, is schools not doing enough to stop the harassment and the abuse of athletes, is the fact that, you know, there's not opportunities for, you know, women working as coaches, or the fact that girls' sports still don't get enough resources and practice space and opportunities. Those are the real issues. And the same thing with when it comes to trying to ban medical care. You know, it's the idea that somehow affirming and supporting trans people and following the medical standards of care, somehow these young people are actually going to get hurt by helping them. And so we have to ban helping them. And it takes advantage of the fact that there's not a lot of understanding of trans youth, of the really sort of the medical consensus on them, the standards of care, the sort of gradual, careful, individualized, step-by-step model of care for trans teens. And so these bills are being passed on some gut level because of people think and say that they're trying to protect young people, but it's being used for this agenda that's actually just going to hurt them.
Harper Jean, what concrete steps can people of goodwill in Idaho take right now, to help counter the damage this legislation will do?
Well, if there's anything this pandemic has taught us, it's that we are all in this together, is that nobody is safe and protected and kind of able to live life and have a good future unless we all are, right? Everything that we see now in a magnified way, how everything that we do impacts each other. And of course, the most important thing every person should be doing in Idaho and around the country is helping to fight this pandemic, staying home as much as humanly possible, listening to public health guidelines. If you can, donating to emergency funds to help people, whether they're trans, and a lot of them are, or not, who are out of work or hurting right now. But I think it's also important that we call out our leaders, that we call and write our governors and say, we demand that you be working to stop this pandemic right now, to get masks to hospitals, to help people who are jobless, to make sure the accurate information is out there, to help move people out of crowded jails and shelters where the virus is spreading, and not to be attacking trans youth and doing these other counterproductive distractions. And I think that even though Governor Little has signed the bill, he still needs to continue to hear from voters in his state, and governors and lawmakers in other states. They need to hear from people. Members of Congress need to hear from people. We need you to be doing absolutely everything you can to save lives from the pandemic right now, and nothing else, and certainly not attacking trans youth, because it's unacceptable.
I'm sure you're familiar with Project Blitz, the far-reaching political religious right effort to draft extreme legislation and distribute it to compliant state lawmakers across the country. Do you know if these Idaho bills came from this kind of law mill, and if so, are we likely to see similar proposals in other states as well?
Yes, this is coordinated. It's not always clear exactly which groups are promoting which bills in which states, but, you know, South Dakota was one of the first states to advance these sports and medical bans, one of the lead legislators on them said, I went to a conference at the Heritage Foundation in D.C., and there were a bunch of lawmakers there from a bunch of states, and there was a discussion about how we should pass this bill, and I came back and decided I'm going to introduce that in my state. And that's what we saw all around the country. We'd never seen some of these bills introduced before, to ban young people from playing sports, to make it a crime to provide medical care to teenagers. and yet we saw nearly identical bills all over the country at once. I think that in some ways, the more important thing than the fact that it's coordinated is the fact that it's not coming from medical experts, from sports leaders. It's coming from with an agenda that trans people should not be part of society.
Would you talk about what the National Center for Transgender Equality is doing to oppose this kind of destructive legislation?
NCTE works on public policy and public education. We're part of a rich community of state, local, and national organizations fighting for trans people's lives in the legislatures, in the courts, in schools, in the streets, in every part of American life. And there are, whether it's local grassroots organizations serving trans people and local community centers, or, you know, national organizations like ours that focus on public policy, we're working together. Our specialty happens to be on public policy. So NCTE has worked to support organizers across the country on good and bad bills and regulations and policies. And right now we see we need a whole movement working together. We know there are legal organizations, Lambda Legal, ACLU, who are going to be suing Idaho officials over these new laws. We know that there are LGBT clinics and community centers and grassroots groups all around the country trying to help folks out during this pandemic. There's groups like the Trevor Project and the Trans Lifeline and others who are trying to provide support, mental health support and crisis support for people right now. And so we have a lot of folks working together to support trans folks and really fight for our lives and our ability to be part of society.
How can our listeners get involved to support your work and to help prevent this kind of hateful lawmaking in the places where they live and where they vote?
The number one most important thing every person in the country should be doing right now is helping fight the pandemic by staying home as much as humanly possible, washing your hands, and following public health guidance. We've all got to get through this together. But the other thing that you can do is make sure you're registered to vote. Find out how to sign up to vote by mail in your jurisdiction for the primary, if you still have one coming up, for the general election in the fall, because we don't know what's going to happen with a lot of these state legislatures. But if you could possibly sign up to vote by mail, do it, because one of the most important things we can do to be heard is vote, and it is an election year. People should also be writing to their members of Congress and demanding another relief bill, and one that actually reaches people, reaches everybody, regardless of their immigration status or where they live or what kind of work they do, because that's going to make sure that more folks, including trans folks, get through this crisis. Write to your lawmakers, write to your governor, tell them, we need you to focus on doing absolutely everything you can as quickly as humanly possible to save lives, to help the jobless, to get people through this crisis and nothing else, and stop the attacks on trans people.
Harper Jean Tobin is Director of Policy at the National Center for Transgender Equality. You can learn more about the center's important work at www.transequality.org. Harper Jean, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. Take care. Wash your hands. Protect yourself. Protect everybody else.